Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your love, your grace, your mercy. Lord, we thank you that you are a God that we can know intimately and personally, Lord, that you're not a God who's wanting religious behavior from your people, Lord. You're wanting to know us and to be known. Father, I just ask for forgiveness for where we've fallen into religion. Father, where we've fallen into the do's and don'ts. And God, we want so much more than that. And there is so much more than that in you. So Father, be with us as we come to your word today, Lord. As we look at a woman who loved being with you and being in your presence and serving your people, Lord, we ask, Father, that you would use this time to bless us through your word, that we would be different because the principles, the truths of your word that get lived out in our lives, not just heard, but lived out, Lord. Bless this time. Use it for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. All right. Well, the title of today's message is Love Overcomes Racism. And, you know, we live in a world where we're growing, we're going in the right way, we're growing past the idea of racism, and in other ways, it's coming in through the back door, we're living in a world right now that's judging people because of the differences. And so I just want to encourage us as we look at a woman here. We're going to be looking at Acts 9. And I remember growing up in school, I didn't want to be a dork in school, but today's message is how do we become more like dorks, or dorkas, I should say. But it's an interesting name, but man, I tell you, this is a woman who really... not a whole lot is said about her, but what is said is very important. And the way she lived her life not only changed the people that she was in direct contact with, but it also had a great effect on a pastor, a preacher, who came her way, Peter, and affected his ministry and how God spoke through him and how he was able to hear from the Lord. So let's dive into it as we continue in our series of unlikely leaders in difficult times. So first of all, we're starting in Acts 9, chapter 9, starting in verse 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. As a first couple of things that stand out is Joppa, where this is taking place. Joppa is an interesting place because do you remember anybody else from Joppa? Anybody else? A big fish come to mind? Yeah. Jonah, right? So this is where Jonah said, I heard from the Lord, but I'm going to catch a boat here from Joppa and I'm going to go the opposite way. Why? Because he didn't want people who weren't God's people, who were living these lives that dishonored God, he didn't want them to have the chance, the Ninevites, he didn't want them to have the chance to repent of their sin and turn to God because they didn't deserve it. And so Joppa is a place where God consistently goes to bring his blessing and his message of love and to bring it in ways and to go in places that, man doesn't want it to go. We're uncomfortable with things not being what we know. We tend to live lives with me and mine, and we're comfortable around people who look like us, who live the same kind of lives we do. And you know what? That's not God's plan for us. It's not God's plan. See, we are united in Christ, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And the thing that man uses to separate, God says, no. He says, I've come so that now we can be united in him. Joppa was a special place. It was one of the oldest cities on earth. And And it's a place where we see God's love going out. Here is, why Dorcas? Why Dorcas? You know, it says about her, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She's a disciple. What does that mean? She knows Jesus, right? She knows the Lord. And this is the only time in the New Testament where we see the word that's used for disciple with a feminine ending. And so this is pretty significant. I mean, here's a woman who is a disciple, and she knows the Lord, and she knows him so well that she's always doing good and helping the poor. You know, this is a woman who has a great impact on her church. And remember, the church is pretty young, isn't it? The church is very young. And so when you've got a woman who's living out her faith in ways that helps the poor, she's kind of like the glue, you know? She's one of those people that helps ties everybody together. She's one of those people that helps those who are less fortunate feel a part of things. That those who are struggling get connected. And we'll find out more about that specifically in a little bit. She also had an effect on a preacher. And we're going to see how she affected Peter and prepared him for hearing from the Lord about including the gospel to the Gentiles and bringing the whole gospel to the people. A couple things about her name. First of all, Dorcas is the Greek. Tabitha is not, but Dorcas is the Greek. And both of the meanings, both of the words, they're meaning gazelle, deer-like, graceful. And so she has this name that means sleek and lovely and graceful. She's involved in evangelism, and she's a learner. She's a student. And she was probably a widow because we see later that she has a ministry to widows. So we don't know that she was a widow, but we think maybe that's a strong possibility. But she had a love and a passion for widows. And she reached out and she helped the poor. Verse 37 says, about that time, she became sick and died. Story's over, right? Not much about Dorcas there. We hear a little bit, she gets sick and dies. Well, there's a little bit more to the story. And her body was washed, meaning being prepared for burial. So it's not like she might have been a little bit dead, you know, what's the movie where mostly dead? Yeah. What movie is that? Princess Bride. Great movie, by the way. Princess Bride. Oh, he's mostly, no, not mostly dead. Completely dead, preparing the body for wash and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him all the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Think about this. So he's come in, and first of all, they come. She's dead. But they've heard about Peter doing other miracles in other places not too far away. And so they send some people, and they say, come, this is an amazing woman. She's so important to our new young church. She has such a heart for the people, and he comes in, and here are all these widows that she'd been ministering to. And as she'd been, they pick up the things that she had made. Have you ever had anybody show you something that somebody important to them has made for them? You ever, what I thought of was, have you ever come into anybody's house and they start showing you pictures of people that are important to them, and then they show you more pictures and more pictures, and you're pretty soon, I've seen a lot of their pictures, my goodness. Sometimes we get so excited when people are show a little interest in our pictures, we just keep going and going and going, right? Well, here's these women, and they're showing their garments, and she made this for me. This woman is important. She's had a real ministry here. She's an amazing woman of God. And her death had a great impact on this community. She was full of good works. I want to encourage us all, men and women. Guys, what do our lives show? I tell you, it's really touched me. We see over and over the ministry of Unchained. Not only going into the prisons and sharing time and time and time again. As they've come up here to lead us in worship today, as they were leading worship and live music yesterday at the barbecue. Just that heart of serving and giving and doing. We've got so many in our church who have that same heart, who serve downstairs getting things ready, who serve with the kids, who serve in the kitchen, who, man, the list goes on and on and on, who greet people, who... We have so many of you who are involved in so many ways. And you know what? The church isn't the church without that. Because we're called to be ministering one to another and building each other up. And you guys are an incredible example to me of what that means day in and day out. And it's a real blessing. She was full of good works, and she used what she had, right? She wasn't a rich woman. She wasn't, we don't hear about that. We hear that she knew how to sew. And so she uses the gifts that she has, and she uses what God has given her to bless the people around her. And what a blessing it is. And something really sticks out to me. Small things mean a lot. You know, we live in a world right now that really cherishes the big explosion, the big thing. But in real everyday relationships, it's the small things that matter. And when somebody is consistently loving in small ways and uses what they have to bless others in these everyday small ways, that means more than the big show, doesn't it? The big show is usually once every blue moon, and man, but the day-to-day, doing things for others, day-to-day, using what she had, using her gifts. She was a giver, and she was a worker. She wasn't idle. She spent her time well, and she was a blessing to many. And it says that she died, and something happens when people who are important to others die, and that there's a reaction. I love being at my mother's funeral when we celebrated her life. It was one of those times. First of all, the place was packed. There were just so many people that she had touched. And it was such a blessing to see many people come up and share about how she had touched their lives. And you know, when you go to funerals and memorials, and when you hear about people who have really touched others' lives, it's amazing. The life we live is important, and it has a great impact on others around us. At least it can. And I would probably say that it does, whether it's positive or negative. I've been reminded in just talking with a number of people here in the last few months of just the positive experience of parents and loved ones, and the negative experience and how that's affected people. And you can tell when people are greatly affected, either they're positively or negatively, by how they share and what they share. And it's always exciting when we see people who have lived a life where the blessing just continues to flow even after their death. Guys, one thing's sure about all of us: we're gonna die. It's reality. Now, most of us won't be brought back to life, just a thought. But God does miraculous things, and so we see that when she died, there was a response. And what does it say in verse 40? It says, Peter sent them out of the room. He's come, he's seen the widows, they've shown him the garments. Peter sent them out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Guys, a few things here. First of all, he sends him out of the room because there's a whole idea of the ceremonially unclean, and so then he turns and he says, "Get up, Tabitha, get up," and she does. And I don't know about you, but if I had been sent out of the room and we had prepared a woman and there'd been days had gone by and she'd been dead, and all of a sudden she comes out and says, "Hey, how you doing?" I mean, part of me would be really excited, and the other part of me would honestly be like, "Whoa, you know, what really happened here? What's, I mean?" There's the process of the miracle and the praising God and all that. There's also, when you experience the power of God personally, it is overwhelming. When you experience a healing, anybody here ever been healed from anything? How about physically? How about emotionally? Relationally? Spiritually? Oh my goodness. God's involved in the whole person, and the whole person's important. And the greatest miracle that we can have is the miracle of salvation, of being broken and dead and separated from God, and then coming and experiencing the peace and the love of Christ and being made whole and going from being broken to whole in Christ. That's the greatest healing of all. I remember when I had broken my arm, and it was severely broken in multiple places while water skiing, and had people at the church camp that I'd broken it at praying for me, and then going up, and as I was being wheeled in into the doctors, they were really worried about me even moving it at all. It had three big lumps on it, and it just kind of bent like a, it was like a U. and then everybody was praying for me, and they had about eight people there at the hospital that were praying for me. And right before I went to get the x-rays, I said to the doctor, I said, it feels different. And I went like this to put it up on the, and he goes, no. Because he didn't want any movement, because if there's, it could be cutting things inside. But it looked different and it felt different. And the doctor was like, and he couldn't explain it. When you see the power of God, there's a response, whoa. And his response afterwards, he didn't want to talk about it. Because when you see the power of God, you're either overwhelmed in thankfulness or you stand back and, no, I don't get it. These women, man, that here's this woman who has been so kind to them, and they've been crying and they've been broken, and here she comes out and she's there and she's alive. And it says, this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Praise God. Because when you see the power of God, man, there's got to be a response. What is your response when God has been speaking to you? What is he saying to you right now? What has he been putting in your hearts and minds lately? What's the lessons that he keeps? You know, when God speaks to you, we usually don't get it the first time around, at least me. And so when he says it, he has to say it again and again, and then he speaks through other people, and it's the same message, right? And then he goes through others, and then through experiences, and then through things you observe. It's like this barrage of truth keeps coming until we get it. He loves us that much. He's got that much patience. And God placed Peter in the company of this woman to temper him and his prejudice. Because one of the things that was evident that we'll see as we continue on in some scripture here is that not only Peter, but the Jewish people who had become Christians, they were still what? Jews. They were still Jewish. And they took great pride in their heritage. And so they were special. And they looked at Gentiles as lesser than. They looked at those who weren't Jewish believers as second-class citizens. And it's, guys, it's hard to be loving, and it's hard to have grace. And have you ever had anybody speak to you about God, but they spoke down to you? Oh, my goodness. I remember growing up, and sometimes when I was at church, I was just like, I felt like I was being talked at, not talked with. And I was constantly reminded of my failures and where I lacked. And it clouded my vision of God. Because I felt so judged that I felt like God was this judging God who was waiting for me to mess up. Waiting and wanting for me to mess up. And that's not the true picture of who God is at all. He's a perfect, loving father who wants what's best for his kids. Now, many of us come from homes where that's a little harder to relate to. But imagine a perfect father who is loving and gentle and long-suffering and encouraging and loves to bless his children and loves to enjoy them. I love seeing, I saw it a few times yesterday at the barbecue. I love seeing moms and dads with their young kids playing and having fun. There's something extraordinarily beautiful and pure about that. When the parent is just playing and having fun with their children, and that joy of the parent with their child and the child with their parent. It's an incredible, inspiring relationship. As God's not the kind of God that he just wants us to be obedient and doing what we're supposed to be doing and being a good, obedient child. He loves us. He takes great pleasure in us. He loves when we play and when we're joyful. He loves it when we learn and when we're encouraged. He loves it when we grow, when we mature. You know, having older kids now, as one has come back and another one has gone back to school, man, the relationship changes, but the heart doesn't change. And you just love your kids so much and want what's best for them. You enjoy them so much. And here, the Jews looked down on the Gentiles. And the Jewish believers did. And God was preparing Peter to go to the Gentiles with the truth and love of Jesus. And Dorcas's her sweet and serving spirit prepares Peter with the task that God was calling him to do, of bringing the gospel to all people. God's purpose was bigger than a needle and thread for Dorcas. You see, he used what she had to bless others. But through what she had to bless others materially, her blessing went beyond what she gave. It's amazing how God can take what we give and use it in ways that we'll never know. Some of you have given to ministries overseas. You will never meet a person that was touched by the money you gave through those missionaries until heaven. You know what's going to be exciting is when we get to meet people and we get to hear the stories of you gave here. You never knew. You never got to see that. You never knew it affected me. But because you gave, this person came. Because they came, they gave the gospel. Because they spent time in my life and served and were there for years. 10 years in, I finally listened. It was all a part of it. And you were a part of that process. Guys, God wants to use what we have. And he uses what we give him. And he uses it in ways that we have no idea what a blessing it is. There are times where God calls us to share a word, to be encouraging to somebody. And we do, and we think it ends there. And God uses that in the process to encourage others and to bring them to Christ. There's so many ways that God uses what we give him for eternal blessings. Something that can't be taken away, eternity, the blessings of salvation. It also says this. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Then it says, Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with who? With a tanner named Simon. A tanner! Now, here's a guy who's all worried in times before about being ceremonially unclean. So whose house does he spend time in after he spends time with Dorcas, after he sees the blessing that she's brought to this community? He spends time in a tanner's, a guy who works with the skins of dead animals. You see, something's changing in Peter's mind and heart. And all of a sudden, Peter is getting less religious and more a man of faith. Religion tries to separate and make reasons of why this is right and I'm right and you're wrong. Faith is brokenness before God, saying, what a sinner I am. There's nothing in me that's deserving. And God says, you're my child. I'm enough for you. You have a new identity in me. And he's touched. And he's willing to be outside of his comfort zone. He's willing to see things in a new light. He's all of a sudden got a new perspective. And when you have a new perspective, it changes how you live. And all of a sudden, the things that we used to do that separate us from others who are different, now guess what? Now, in this community, a very diverse community, we get to share the gospel with all people. We get to share the gospel, what heals and what blesses, with everyone. Guys, I would say that's the American dream. Or at least it should be. More importantly, that's God's will for us. That's the kingdom dream, I should say. That's kingdom living. You know, as for us as missionaries years back, one of the things that we didn't want to do as missionaries was bring a Western culture to the people of Uganda. That would have just brought more confusion and pain and brokenness. But we wanted to bring kingdom culture in. And where everything that in their culture that did not go against the word of God, you celebrate it. You celebrate it big time. And everything in their culture that goes against the word of God, you replace it with the truth of the word of God. And you bring in newness and you bring in blessing. And a couple of scriptures, and I'm going to, I got to share these real quick. You know what? For time's sake, let's go to Acts 11, verses 1 through 3. You know, let me just quickly share just from Acts 10, 9 through 15. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became angry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open up and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice came to him and told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." His response was, "Surely not, Lord." It takes, you know, you got to be pretty brave to say to God when he's speaking to you, "No." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything pure or unclean." Do you see how entrenched he is in this is the way we live? This is what he's hearing from God. Get up and eat. He's saying, God, no. God, no. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." See, God's changing the heart of Peter. God's used this woman, Dorcas. God's using his Holy Spirit to bring in truth. He's using a vision. And then in Acts 11, 1 through 3, the apostles and the believers throughout Judea. Who? The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them? You went to those people's homes? Those people?" We have a world that lives in the heart of those people, don't we? Right now, one of our biggest those people is, well, we do it a lot with the color of skin. Right now, we're doing it a lot politically, aren't we? Those people. Those people. Are you one of those people? And it doesn't matter which side you're on. There are those people. Guys, this is dangerous language. It's a dangerous mindset. Because I can... Praise God, we've got Democrats, Republicans, and Independents in this church family. Praise God, we've got African-American, white, Latino, we've got Islanders, we've got Asian, you fill in the blank. Praise God, because that's the heart of God, being made one in Christ. Those people. We got to get our minds out of those people. And guys, I want to encourage you to stand up lovingly and gently. When people around you are in the those people language, bring in the truth of God. Because right now, it's being considered okay to say, you know, if somebody disagrees with me politically, it's not that they're wrong, it's that they're evil. And that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. That's straight from the pit of hell because it divides us. Praise God, there's people who think differently than I do politically because sometimes I'm right, sometimes they're right. I like to think I'm right more often. You know what? I know plenty of times where I've been wrong. So after they say this to him, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them," Peter then shares what happened. He shares the vision. He shares what God was speaking to him. And after he shares in verse 18, it says, "When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, 'So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life.'" Man, praise God. Here are these people. Man, what does truth do? It sweeps out the lie and replaces it with truth. And when truth comes in, it heals and it blesses and it brings people together. It blesses people and it brings people together. Man, God is doing so much when we allow the Holy Spirit to move in us in such a way that we get out of religious behavior and we get into faith living and responding to God in faith and not viewing people according to how I see them as different from me or the same as me in a multitude of ways. Because it's not just the color of skin, is it? Financially, we do it. Often people who don't have will look at people who do have and treat them differently. Often people who do have will vice versa. We'll do it in other ways too, by experiences. Man, yeah, I love that we're together. We're one in Christ. So then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. We have life, and there's only one way to it, and it's through Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're outside of that blessing of being united in Christ. And for those of you who are believers, let's live out the love of God in truth, and let's not be judgmental about those who think differently than us. Let's have grace for people who think differently. Let's value people in such a way that we can disagree while still honoring them. And when other people dishonor, we can step in lovingly, gently, and speak up and speak in truth. Not in a way that puts down the other person and creates more division, but in a way that heals. It's going to be look different every time of how to do that. But if you pray, if you go into it with a prayerful heart, God, give me the words. Say a little prayer first, just in your head. God, give me the words to share here to bring blessing and healing into this relationship. Show me how to speak in truth here. Because I don't know what to say. Guess what? The Holy Spirit will lead us, won't he? And he'll honor that prayer because the Father takes great pleasure in when his people come together under his name, under who he is. There's a lot to be thankful for. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one from any culture, any background, no one, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, says Jesus Christ. Through his death, burial, resurrection, he's conquered the grave, he's conquered sin. Praise God. Guys, we have a whole lot to be thankful for. And we have a God who knows our weaknesses and gives us opportunities to grow out of the way we look differently at people that's dishonoring. So I want you to pray, if there's a person or people or a group of any kind that God is saying, you know what? You look at them differently because of how you judge them. And they are my children too. And he's giving you that vision like he gave Peter. I want you to think differently. I want you to view people differently because you are my child now. If there's anybody that you have been, man, pray to God, ask for forgiveness. And where it's possible, some of the people may have died that you held differently. But where it's possible, as far as it is with you, seek to make it right. God can bring incredible blessing through it. It could be difficult. It could cause some pain before it brings some blessing. But if God is asking you to do that, respond. Respond to him. Not to me. Respond to him. Pray that, God, is this what you want for me in this situation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for all of us here, Lord. I thank you that we get to struggle through your word at times. Lord, sometimes we hear you speaking to us, but we don't really want to respond because it's hard. Because there's a cost to responding. Father, in this area of where we judge people because of something that's different, Lord, it's very easy for us to give reasons of why we do it, to explain things away, to make ourselves feel better, even if it's just for the moment. Father, forgive us for our sin. Forgive us for our judgmental attitudes. Lord, we pray for our nation right now. We need healing in a really big way. We are so divided. Please forgive us for this sin and this division and this eagerness to be divided. this willingness to go down these different paths. Lord, I pray that your church, the people who know you and are known by you, Lord, that we would stand in the gap, that we would be ambassadors for you and bring your truth and your love into the lives of others. Lord, show us how to do that for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.